Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to be here in your presence, knowing that you have come to us, Lord. We did not go to you, but you came to us, and we're grateful at this hour that this coming is going to be to the catching away to the wedding supper, for we know that you have descended with shout, voice, and trumpet. And we appreciate that we're a part of it, and here it is, Lord, that we look at ourselves and we look around about those who believe the message, and certainly it must be just like in the days when Balak asked Balaam to come down and curse a raggedy-taggle bunch of people that were going supposedly to the promised land, and he would like to curse them, but couldn't do it because you were there in the pillar of fire, and the reflection upon them was not themselves, but it was you yourself. And when Balaam saw that, he couldn't do anything, and we're happy that we're in the same position tonight, that the gates of hell may come against us for the revelation we have of your presence, but nothing is going to happen. There's nothing can happen because you have shined upon us. And your reflection is here, Lord, and we are in that same reflection. We see not ourselves any longer, but see you, whom to know right is life eternal. We appreciate that. We praise you for it. Now, Lord, may grace and mercy be upon us tonight as we study this word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to be back here, not just out of the rain, but into the right rain. You know, there's a little the former and latter rain is falling together. A lot of people don't believe that. But a lot of people don't believe a lot of things. And I think we're supposed to believe all things. You know, all things are possible, only believe in. When you come to the place where you really believe that you're one that's born unto immortality, even though you might not want to be hanging around to get there, you'd sooner be on the other side where it's much better. You know, that's a lot of believing. But it's not hard if you put it in your heart. If it's in your heart, then it's not hard at all to see that. Now, of course, Saturday afternoon, you get there any time you kind of like, but we'll be there fairly early and have supper about 5:30 maximum. And at the hall, you know, where it is. And afterward, just some of us are going to come back here. This will be required of the deacons and trustees to come on back with us in order to have communion foot washing with the people from Pennsylvania because they never get it normally. And then I think it's good for Toledo folks to come back too because you never know when the weather gets so bad they might not be able to get down with us. So it's not incumbent upon everyone to come back Saturday night because it will just simply be the rites as they were delivered to us, no speaking. And Sunday morning we'll have service likely at 11 o'clock at the very latest, likely 10:30. So the people can get together and have some lunch and get back to, 300 miles or better they have to drive. So you understand that. And Sunday we'll be bringing the message, continuing with the judge. And then there's some things I want to tell you that I, yesterday and today, what the Lord has shown me, and things that have sort of, well, the harder you look, the more you miss it. So I haven't been looking. So there it is, right in front of me. And I knew there the answer was there, and I knew people preaching had the wrong answer. I'm going to tell you why the two-soul doctrine is absolutely wrong on an erroneous proposition. I'll take you right to the prophets, what he said, and then for the first time you'll know what he said. And I'm not here to tell you as though I know something. Look, don't get that idea, but I know. Because I knew it wasn't what they said he was saying. And I'll tell you exactly where they made the mistake. So we'll show you that, why polygamy's wrong. This man has propagated false doctrines, gone around the world. And I don't care if anybody takes it. Look, I'm responsible only for those that are listening. Handful of people. I like it that if you want to run around the world and be big shot, run. You see what's going to happen. I don't, I didn't tell you one word till the hour was ripe. I will tell you exactly what the prophet said. I will prove it from his own words. Show you just what he said. Because they didn't understand. I didn't either till I saw it before me. God led me right to it. Book laying right there, opened up. You know how the Lord led me for the answer to this man in Holland? I went right to a stack of papers and an envelope I laid my hand on. I said, what is this anyway? Pulled up the stack of papers, reached in, pulled the one out, right on top. It had been put there, Xerox. Had the exact answer. You know, look, we're not walking in darkness, brothers and sisters. Come on, that was for the dark ages and back in Pentecost. We're in the light. Just don't try to find out things. The harder you try, the more you'll miss it, the further you'll get from it, and the time you think you got it, that's the time you don't have it unless the whole thing lines up. So we've got just very simple things to tell you. Sunday's going on with the judge, and then continuing as time goes on concerning what he is at this hour. Now, we've been dealing with the Holy Spirit on purpose, and tonight we're dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church. That would be to the corporate body, especially way that he is dealing. And we'll read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 1-16, and this is one of those messages I'd almost sooner just do without notes. But we'll sort of struggle around here, if you don't mind, and see what we come up with. All right, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he set. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but he descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended, the same also ascended up far above all heavens. He might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And now let's read it a little different from verse 7. And leave out the interpolation. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave, these are the gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. Do we all come in unity of faith, even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning crafter, by the lying way to deceive, but speaking or holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him, is not into, really, it's unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted with that which every joint supplieth, according to the picture working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto itself in love. Now, it's only sensible to find out exactly who it is that it is spoken of here in verses 7 to 11, and to know exactly what this one is doing or has done. So, first of all, we read 7 and 11 together, as I have already done. But I leave out verse 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. We better read verse 8. Now I'll leave it on. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. So, unto every one of us is given. That's a gift. When you're given something, that's a gift. You're given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Two things mentioned. Gift, gift. Then it tells you what they are. The gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, fivefold ministry. All right. Now, these two verses, which I read, actually explain verse 8, which is taken from Psalm 68 and 18. Now, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, 7 and 11 explain it, tells you what that verse really means. Now, that verse, as I said, comes from Psalm 68 and 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. All right? The giving of gifts. Now, those gifts came because of his ascension and what he wanted to do for those to whom he gave gifts because of his authoritative position. Now, exactly in verses 9 and 10, It tells exactly who it is that ascended and who is giving these gifts. Now it says, he that ascended, what is it but he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Now, the ninth verse mentioning that he that ascended is the one that descended into the lowest parts of the earth, or the nether parts, the lower parts. And, of course, that is taken from Psalm 16, 9 to 11. So, we can go back there and check that one out, too. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also rests in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Now, you notice in there that what descended to the lower parts of the earth was not to the grave, it was to hell. We know that in the spirit he went down to upper and lower Sheol. So that's the one who went down there. Then it tells you that he that was the one that ascended is the same one that came back. Even Trinitarians, as I mentioned, understand that. That he came back as the Spirit, in the form of the Spirit. And that's the fulfillment of John 14 and 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we see that the Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus came back and set gifts into the church. That's verses 8 and 11. Wherefore he said, he ascended on high, led captivity captain, gave gifts. And the gifts are men who have ministries. And you'll notice that these ministers, these gifts given to the church, will actually be a part of the fulfillment of the last part of verse 10, that he might fill all things. Now, with that, we could go to Ephesians 1 and look at 22 and 23, has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. So, what you're looking at here is the fact that the qualitative assets, attributes, rich provisions that lay in him would not come except for this gifting, which are gifts, which are ministers. It's not just the Holy Spirit filling individual believers, and thereby the whole church left on its own from that point on, as though this were sufficient to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. But he is administering. You follow? He's administering as well as giving light, so that all things will be from him, and literally for him and to him. And he will be in control as the head from grace given to all of us, all continuing grace, and this pouring down continually from him. So be careful that you don't run afoul of the teaching, which I know you haven't, but the Laodicean spirit is the same as the Nicolaitan in a reverse. It's the same spirit. Both are in anarchy against God. And God has never allowed the church to be in a state of anarchy. He is the head. And at no time has he ever simply filled believers with the Holy Spirit and left them to that device. That's not true. He has put ministries in the church. And God himself is administering through these ministries. Now, look, you can see that without me, like as I say, hey, we could talk all night long and just go extempore from here on. But look, in the 1 Corinthians, the 12 chapters, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different administrations, but the same Lord. Diverse operations, but the same God. See? One Spirit that is operating within the church to bring it to a place where God wants it. And the induction is of many members into Christ by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Then he gives gifts to the corporate body. Now that's what it is telling us here. So this is not Acts 2 and 4, which we are reading here in Ephesians the 4th chapter, where everyone is Spirit-filled. But it is a continuing ministry of the Spirit of God to the bride through men who are gifts to the church because they have a spiritual abilities whereby, or spiritual ministries, you want to call it that, whereby they're known, pardon me, and do minister. So, that's what we're looking at. Pardon me. Now, these men of whom we speak are no different from their brethren in accordance to Acts 2, all filled with the Holy Ghost, and 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, many members, and all one in the body by Jesus Christ. So these brethren, these ministers, are no different in spirit filling from any other minister or any other member. But there is a difference in that they have ministries in the Word that are vital to the corporate body, so that to them is entrusted what is said in Ephesians 4:12-16. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, to carry about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking or holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly framed, fitly joined together and compacted, which there would not be without that ministry. By that which every joint supplies, according to the effects you're working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, let's read verses 12-13. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that is the goal. That's the goal that is set here in the body. These are the ministries that achieve it. Okay. The ultimate is the stature of the fullness of Ephesians 1:22-23. We go back and read it again. And put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. That's the ultimate. the tremendous stature of literally these members forming a true church or a true bride, which, as Brother Branham said, is Jesus in bride form. Now, that's the ultimate. See? The mature church, with fully attained membership, all in, and development achieved. That is manifested sons. You're coming into it. Now, we're not taking manifestation of sons like some people do. We're just letting you know that that's what we're headed for. All right. What is the criterion of the adoption, which is the manifestation, which we're looking at right here? And the fullness comes in the resurrection. Because there's got to come a time when that bride has every string cut away from her. And that's in immortality when she comes back upon the earth ruling and reigning with him. Then becomes later on New Jerusalem. See, we're looking right down to the end. Now, what is the criterion of the adoption or this maturity, this goal that we saw here in 12 and 13? Well, it's verses 14, 15. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but coming to the place where nothing is spoken of but the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and there's no lying in it.
Amen.
Exactly what we're looking at. I can prove to you. He says in the 17th verse, I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, ye henceforth not walk as of the Gentiles, walk in the vanity mind, having the understanding dark, and being alien in life with God through the ignorance that's in them, because it blinds their heart, who being past feeling, given themselves to lasciviousness, to work all in kings of greediness, but so you've not learned of Christ. If so be you've heard him, been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. And put off your former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts and pleasures, and be renewed in the spirit in your mind, and put on the new man, which after God's creating righteousness and truthfulness, putting away lying, putting away the lie. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. Here it is. See? The ultimate maturation. Coming right up unto him. Remember, he does not come down. We go up. When you speak of the corporal body. Coming to the place of immortality. The millennium, New Jerusalem, the whole thing. See? Now, the goal was the maturation, the pyramid, with its full stature. And it tells you the criterion, which is not character, but character is involved. Which is not fruit, but fruit is involved. Which is not nearness to God and closeness, but it is involved. Which is not obedience, but it is involved. The criterion is the truth.
Amen.
Speaking the truth in love, which is speaking the truth in Christ. That lines with Malachi. At the last day there'd be a bride. Malachi 3:16. Now, growing up unto him in all things, every promise and concept of the word fulfilled in the bride. You know something? Just stop and think what I've just been saying. And I've been saying it kind of loud and harsh, and you, the beauty's gone over your head because of the way I say things. Think of the beauty of a bride with the head of Jesus in that condition. There's nothing could thrill your heart like it. See, this is the trouble with a ministry like mine. I drive so hard, if I don't stop and give you the overtones and the tints and the hues, you sit there with my hard-nosed approach, and I don't like that because then I got to stop and soften down, and I get too embarrassed to get soft. And I betray my feelings, and then I become a nut like you, and that's not good, see? But look at just think. Just think of the highest, the wonder of it that we're coming into. You know why I tell you that I know I'm going to have the spirit of love before I get out of here? He said so. I'm going to have it either here and be immortalized, or I'm going to die and have it over there. Now, I know what I'm talking about, see? You say, Brother Vail, how do you know? You know, everyone that is born again hath this in himself, this assurance in himself. Everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, baptized the Holy Ghost, has the witness within himself. I don't need anybody to come and tell me, because he's already told me. See? Now, let's read 15. I read that. Now, this is the same as Ephesians 5, 25. Plus, husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. So men ought to love their wives their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes even the Lord the church. Remembers of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Doesn't say blood. Remembers of his life, see. The life, the blood went out. For this cause a man will leave father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This is a great mystery. And I speak concerning Christ and the church. We're looking at the spotless, glorious bride in Ephesians here. And she, from verse 16, notice, possesses all the graces and everything that was poured into Christ, who was the fullness of the attributes of the Godhead bodily. She now is the recipient of the attributes through the intermediate relationship of Jesus Christ. See? She's got the same thing as the He and the Father one, she and the Father one. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Now, if it's fitly joined and compacted, strengthened and put in there, the sinews, everything in order, every joint supplying, you can see he is referring to the time when that which is perfect is come. See? You're right in that area. And it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the building of edifying, or the building of itself in love. So therefore, as Christ loved the church and gave himself, he has never ceased to love and to give, but the constant pouring in until the bride literally becomes the Holy Spirit, becomes Jesus, as Brother Branham said, in the bride form which he is here now. So, here is where we really differentiate between the Holy Spirit as a divider of himself amongst men, and the Holy Spirit as the revealer of himself, who is the Word to men. At Pentecost, he imparted life. But here, he is imparting knowledge and government. You see? Look. People are supposed to marry and have families. That's from the beginning. Not everybody, of course, will do that, but normally that's what you're supposed to do. Replenish the earth, as God said to Paul. I mean, to Adam. Then he said to Noah's three sons, replenish the earth. Now, the thing is, when you have children, you look for the day that is inevitable that they must, from what you have given them in the physical and the spiritual, leave you and go absolutely on their own. That has never happened to the church. The fundamental law of the church is sovereignty. Headship being of Christ. Now, if you get out your books, which I don't have with me, Spoken Words, Original Seed, and you write down what Brother Branham was given by the Spirit, you will see the headship I'm talking of, which is coming to this last age. And that headship is inevitable. in order to bring the bride out of the ground. Because as the head came up in a resurrection, so the body must follow the head, which it will do. Which criterion, or standard, whatever you want to put it, principle, is that the same one who gave life is there in control and direction of that life until it goes where he wants it. See? The one who trains children and leads them and guides them and categorically mentions their placing of adoption and manifestation, those same ones are bride. You follow? You can't get away from sovereignty. You cannot get away from it. And the baptism per se is not that. It is the impartation of light. Pentecost is the impartation of light. Now, Brother Branham was not saying go back to Pentecost as an impartation of light. He was saying go back to Pentecost as the first production, which was in purity.
Amen.
So people don't want it. Many people are misunderstanding what the prophet said. Pentecost imparted light. But here, what we read. He is imparting knowledge and government, which evidently cannot come except through a fivefold ministry, which is a word ministry of authority. As it says, obey them who have the rule over you, who teach you the word of God. Pentecost is the birth of sons. This is sonship continuing through a word ministry to full age. When you become a full age, see, that's the time that you're up to the meat age, the strong meat, the time of the doctrine of Melchizedek, the time of the adoption, the time of the coming up unto, as he descends in corporal form, we ascend in corporal form to the wedding supper. Now, without the Pentecostal experience, no ministry, none at all, would be effective. Without the baptism, the word is dead to them. But Pentecost without this ministry, of which we speak, would be an abortion and die. I want to emphasize that. Pervert that ministry, or take it away. The Pentecostal baptism at the end of time fails. It runs out into an abortion. And that is, thus saith the Lord. Lee Vail quoting Almighty God in the lips of Malachi. The fourth chapter. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, or I will simply come and curse it. And what was the curse? The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, all the proud, ye all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And that day shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and leave neither root nor branch. Pentecost, birth, would be an abortion. Now, you say what you want, because I don't care what you say. This pulpit is free to leave him, nobody else. Whatever he preaches, anybody come behind me, it's just too bad. I cut you right down. I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
And we are not kidding. Because there are certain men run around the world, and they act as though they're somebody. Because they got the ear of a lot of people. Jesus never had the ear of hardly anybody.
Amen.
And I don't want the ear of a lot of people. To a degree, I want your ears. But I'm not God. But I want you to understand something. And we better understand it today. Like I showed you last Sunday, what the baptism with the Holy Ghost does. I don't care if it does do it. It'll abort. Without something God wants by a ministry.
Amen.
No, that's thus saith the Lord, because that's the word of God. I didn't say it. And Malachi didn't say it. God said it. So here we are. The baptism with the Holy Ghost is the personal guarantee of our part in the first resurrection. Our part in the bride. Our part in the rapture. Our part in the wedding supper. Our part in the millennium. Our part in New Jerusalem. But it could all abort. But God's not going to let it abort. Because he's already laid up how this which all comes in him, and in him is the resurrection, in him is the millennium, in him is the new Jerusalem. So it all comes down, and you aren't going to miss anything. The blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of millennium divine, heir of salvation, new Jerusalem above, hallelujah, born of God. Oh, I could make up some good poetry, just give me a chance. All right. It still takes the word ministry to bring it to perfection. That is conclusion. Rounding off the cementing. But, and this is a big but, the word ministry in the first age started to die in Acts 20, 26 to 32. Now, you know that, don't you? Everybody knows that. That was one of my favorite scripture for many years when I was preaching this message back in, what, 62, 63, somewhere there, and began teaching more and more on it, until by the time the prophet left the scene, it was getting to be more and more pertinent. All right? He says here, beginning at verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. The blood of all, the word men in there is interpolated, men and women both. For I have not, now notice, where he is pure from the blood of all, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Why did that loose him from responsibility? Because Paul had nothing to do with foreknowledge and election. And the administering of the sacrifice. The blood which would be pertinent to those that were lost. And the ministering of the Holy Ghost. He ministered the Word. Now, he said, I'm free. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseas to feed the church of God, that he purchased with his own blood, for this and after my departing grievous wolves entering among you, not sparing the flock. What wolves? False prophets. False teachers. False evangelists. False pastors. A false fivefold ministry that looked like the genuine article on the outside.
Amen.
But they're wolves on the inside. And old Balak saw that crowd. And he said, they sure look like a mess. He said, I can see, he said, they're the kind of guys, he said, that they look like wolves on the outside. They better be, I'm sure they're wolves on the inside. So he said, Balaam, he said, this ought to be a cinch. He said, go on down and curse them. So old Balak, I think it was a Midianite, one, he knew a little bit about the things of God. Just like the Muslims and the Islamic. They know a little bit about the things of God. Having come from Abraham, they know a little bit about the law and a few things. He went down there and he tried to curse that people. Looked pretty raunchy on the outside. And God said, hey, he said, I'm going to tell you something. They're all fine on the inside. Just leave them alone. Now, these bunch here look good on the outside. They're rotten on the inside. Therefore, watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone you name that with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. He said the same thing over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. See? The ministry of the Word. Now, he tells you it's going to go. Now go to Matthew 7 sometime. Beware of false prophets. They're wolves in sheep clothing. In them are the ravening wolves. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of brambles and things like that, he says. Then he keeps on going right down the line. until you can begin to see what he's talking about categorically is a word that deceives as it was in the garden. See, when the word was maintained, they were already immortal. They never would have died. They'd have gone on like you and I are. Sensate. Eating and drinking. Raising children without sex. It was laid out there. She got from the word and it aborted. Huh? Come on, the life of God was in Adam. He breathed in him the breath of lives. And it aborted. What stops the abortion? If you're with that word, there'll never be an abortion. Once the word is gone, there is an abortion. Let's go find out some more. 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. Don't worry, I still love you. Yeah. Alright, I'm jealous over the godly jealousy in verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11, I've espoused you to one husband, I've married you off, and I'm going to be there to give you away. Present you the chaste groom as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, that many means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, Paul preached simplicity. And I'm going to tell you something. Paul can drive anybody crazy. Trying to figure it out. Brother Branham preached simplicity. Drive you crazy trying to figure it out. So therefore, we know something is much simpler than we think. Much simpler. Simplicity. For if he that preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, if you receive another spirit which we have not received, another gospel, you didn't hear from me. Three counts. Three counts. Now, look at that bride that listened to the false prophets. As it says here in that same chapter, for such are false apostles, seek for workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to what they teach, what they're doing. You tell me that people won't come along in this message and they'll tell you, well, I believe the message. And not lead you straight. Come on, come on. You're not babies. Got no more revelation of this than nothing. Man run around the world and can't even stand that Brother Branham was God to the people. Well, if he wasn't God to the people, what was he? Amen. Then let him be God, because that's what he wants. Oh, come on. We're not babies. Brother Branham said, take the gloves off. You might see. Lily white hand hogwash. They got full of arthritis, pounding concrete and everything else. Oh, heavy-fisted veil. If you want to call me that, fine. But they're the ones that call the shots and call the punches. I didn't. They started. And I warned you, I've always told you, you throw a spitball at me, I'll just spit right back and throw it right back at you. I'm sorry, that's my nature. But Brother Branham himself said the gloves were off. What's the matter with these people? They can't take that? What can there be a prophet without God? Tell me. It's axiomatic. If the prophet's there, God's got to be there. Amen. And I mean he's got to be there. Amen. Not there. Somewhere in the wild blue yonder, you got to trace, try to find him with a jet or something. I'm going to tell you, he comes seeking the prophet. He gets right in the prophet's way. And the prophet's got to stand back and look, hey, what's going on here? And God says, I'm what's going on here.
Amen.
See, listen, let's get this thing where it is, brother, sister. I'd just soon be a little hard-bitten right now and be accused of having no love and the guy that causes trouble and be 100% right. Because it's in my spirit I'm right, though I talk thus. Because I'm set for the defense of the gospel and the word of this hour. Because if I do not tell the truth, I am lost, lost, lost. And those who believe like me are lost. But I ask the question, can God be without a prophet? Can there be a word prophet without God? Tell me, come on, go ahead, answer your own question. Paul stands there and he says, I'm a prophet, hallelujah. He's a drunken idiot. Drunk on his own stupidity. His own pride, his arrogance. He no prophet, and this God's there. Because what's he going to say? Like they said to Brother Branham, have a vision for me. He says, certainly, if you have a dream for me. I don't know what message they believe. Look where this woman went. That's blind and naked. And doesn't even know it. So something has to bring her back. How did she get this way? Off the Word. Now, wasn't that she didn't have the Holy Spirit? There was a steady declension of the Word. See? Now, something's got to get the bride out of Babylon and restore it. There is absolutely no scripture for that, for that, except Malachi 4, which is set forth in Acts 3. And he says, this church is going to burn. And you're in that church. And I've got to get you out of there, because the whole trouble is, it's fornication. Which is idolatry. Which is worship of a false God in a false way. Now, they've got a false spirit, they've got a false Jesus, they've got a false Word. Now, if you don't get that back, how are they going to get there? Now, you see, the church has steadily been sliding toward an abortion. God says, God, stop. Now, you just nail it right down. Just plain as ABC. So I'm going to send Elijah. I'm going to be standing right there. On the one side, I've got burning for those that are wicked. I've got healing in my wings, which is immortality, for those that aren't in that category. Now, right over here in Acts, the 3rd chapter, it says, in the middle of the 19th verse, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, at that time, even God shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed, proclaimed in advance, preached, so on unto you, whom the heavens must retain until restoration of all things, which God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets, and the Word began. The Word restored. Only Elijah can restore. And at that time, those who don't hear are destroyed. Now the church is destroyed because she aborts. There's no life in her. There's no life in her. Because she's not born of the Word. See? She doesn't have it. All right. If the Word ministry brings on the adoption, how do we get back the Word today, to the Word? The answer is very simple. What brought the Word in the first place? All right? Before we find what brought the Word in the first place, I said, if you find out what brought the Word in the first place, you got no trouble knowing what'll bring the Word in the last place, so to speak. So let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. The 3rd chapter. And verse 14, I know that whatever God doeth, he shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, for God doeth it, and God doeth that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. So as Brother Branham said, if God does a thing a certain way, he's going to do it the next time the same way. So all right, how did the Word come to the Gentiles? It came from the pillar of fire that met Paul on the road to Damascus and was with him 3 years in the desert. And he said, I received this revelation strictly from the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. In 1 Corinthians 2, he tells us that nobody but nobody can know the things of God except imparted to them by the Spirit of God. And then he categorically tells them, I am the one that got the revelation. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 35, 36 to 37, he said, did the Word of God come unto you or did it come out of you? Now he said, if you're a prophet or spiritual, in other words, if you have a ministry in the body or you're just born again, you will recognize that I am the one who told you and what I say is the commandment of God. All right, then he was a vindicated prophet. Amen. It took a vindicated prophet, the pillar of fire, that spoke face to face with God to bring the Word. It'll take the same thing to bring it back. Because Alpha is Omega. Because the Word can only come to a prophet. And a Word prophet has to talk face to face with God. This is why Brother Branham said, just think, the same pillar of fire that brought the Word to Paul is here revealing it. Paul was not at Pentecost. And the Word was not at Pentecost. The Word of the Lord comes to the prophet. He came by the pillar of fire unto Paul. So we need the prophet of Revelation 10 and 7. And he will be here on earth at the same time what that great one is that comes from heaven, even the same one that was sitting on the throne with the rainbow. He comes down on earth at the same time Revelation 10 and 7 is here. God and a prophet the same time face to face. And that's the time all the mysteries run out and are fulfilled. Now, if the mysteries run out and are fulfilled, then the word must have been brought back to a bride. In other words, every single thing that did not come from him and must come to him by the word, the spirit enlivened word, has to now come down so the former and the latter rain come together at the end time and bring forth a bride. Now tell me how it's done except he's here. Do it. That same one that came down, the prophet's got to be here because he is a prophet. That's what it says in Revelation 10 and 7. In the days the voice of the seventh messenger, he'll begin to sound. The mystery of God should be finished, perfected, and polished off as God hath declared the good news of his gospel by his servants the prophets. Now who brought it to the Gentiles? Paul! Brother Branham got over there to the curtain beyond time, and he said, I want to see him. They said, you can't see him. But he'll come to you and judge you according to what you preach. And he said, I preach what Paul preached. And they said, we're resting on that. Now let me tell you something. You go and look up every place where Paul said my gospel. And you're going to find that every single thing that you and I hope to have as bride is dependent upon that gospel that Paul said was his gospel. Right. I'm resting on it. But the word, because it was impure, and you get a woman whose womb is filled with those impurities, that child will abort. And the bride was almost about to be aborted. You say, well, how would that happen? I'm telling you the word of God. Now, it's all right to sit back and sneer and say, well, hey, I just don't believe that. That's fine. Don't believe it. Go on back to Pentecost. Take your followers to hell as far as I'm concerned. But don't look at me to join your crowd and I'll fight you to the last ditch. You see, why did you talk to her? Hopefully this tape will get around the country like the rest. Amen. They want to criticize me, let the criticism come. I'll stand on what I preach tonight because I know what I'm talking about. It says, absolutely, if I don't send Elijah, it's gone. Now look, if you don't have coffee, beans, you can't drink coffee. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, I'll get some of that Hitler stuff, that ersatz, that health brand stuff. Go ahead, you still don't have coffee. It's got to have the life of the coffee plant in it. And the life of God is not in a false word.
Amen.
And the bride just doesn't have, by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, what she needs to get her there. What she has is the guarantee that she will get there. What guarantee is that? A promise. But what if the promise is not the promise? You've voided my word by your tradition, said God. You've destroyed every promise of mine by tradition. Then these folks that talk about a rapture, if they're wrong in their thesis, they'll never be in a rapture. And if it takes Christ here to raise the dead, as the prophet said, but they say he's not here, they voided their own resurrection. You want to come up into him? Oh, Brother Bill, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. How much full? I just doubt that very much. I can have my doubts. They got theirs. Mine are better than theirs. Because I'm doubting their hogwash. I won't put a bit of faith in their lies. I put my faith in the prophet. See? Now, to get our subject matter straight. After the presence of God in a word ministry, let's go back to the first. The revealed word before Pentecost was only the promise of the Holy Spirit is yours. They said, oh, listen. We are so anxious to know about the kingdom. Will it be restored? He said, pipe down. Just cool it. I have nothing to tell you except one thing. You wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes. Then we'll go from there. Now show me where he gave them one word outside of the promise of the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it. Let's take a look at John 7, 37, 39 just for a little split second here. It's not too relevant, but then again, it's all right. And the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because that Jesus is not yet glorified. Now, the word for them at that hour was the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, he had given them a little previous glimpse of down to the end of the ages. Sure. I got no problem with Matthew 24 and those other chapters. That's the seals, that's the church ages. But as to the definitive word, there was just a promise made of the Holy Spirit. Now, but there was a promise made to the church by Jesus Christ in John 14 and 26. And here's what he said about that same Spirit, not just filling them, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Father sent in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatever said unto you. And in John 16, 12 to 15, I have many things to say, but you can't hear them now. But when the Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth is come, he'll guide you into all truth. You'll not speak yourself. Whatever you'll hear, that is speaking to show you things to come, to glorify me. He'll receive a mind and show it unto him. All the Father hath in mind, therefore said all, he shall take a mind and show it unto you. That's what he told him. Absolutely, that's come to pass. That lines up with Ephesians, the fourth chapter, see? After the Spirit comes to the bride. Now, the fulfillment of John 14, 26 and 16, 12, 15 was not by rebirth, and therefore not a corporate body revelation, but one by the Holy Spirit himself to a prophet, and then to a fivefold ministry, and then to the entire body. That makes God and the bride one, which is one word. Because in the beginning, when God began to form himself, he had to form himself through Logos. See? That becomes one word. We're all part of that. Now, you can't be full of the Holy Spirit and reject the Word. Well, come on. The Word would come to the people who were full of the Holy Ghost. How can anybody reject the Word at this hour and say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost? See? You can't be full of the Holy Ghost and reject the Word. And you can't receive the Word unless you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you see, what we're going to is an absolute, where God is determined that he will get a bride there. See? Knowing exactly what would happen to her. And all these things happening in his divine providence in order that his attributes be made manifest. So we have this before us. And God is not going to lose one, but he's laid a channel down. And I'm going to tell you, the sheep hear the voice, and they follow. The rest don't, because they're not sheep. I'm sorry, like hogs and dogs go to the vomit, to the swill pen. Now look, I didn't write that. I'm saying it because the Bible says it. And I'm standing on it. If I'm a hog, I'll go right back to my wallow. Don't worry. If I'm a dog, I'll go back to the vomit. It is not simply seven church ages of the elect coming to Christ and baptized into his body indiscriminately. Now that's what people want us to think, that this is some indiscriminate plan. They talk sovereignty. Don't even know what sovereignty is, as far as I'm concerned. All right, verse 7, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now there's a measure mentioned there, showing it's not indiscriminate. In verse 13 rather, unto the measure of the stature. And in verse 16, the measure of every part, showing you that it is not indiscriminate, that God is not doing anything indiscriminately, but by careful, absolute planning. So there's no hitch. There's no miss. This is sovereignty. Where you can let almost anything go for any length of time, and then God suddenly sweeps it right back into shape. He makes the wrath of man to praise him. The remainder of wrath he does restrain. He doeth his will in the armies of the heaven and earth. He turns the heart kings like rivers of waters. God's in complete control. That's sovereignty. And right here, it tells you there's nothing indiscriminate about what God's doing, but He's working in measures. The measure of the Spirit and the measure of the Word is identical in a bride, but nobody knows the measure of the bride coming in. She comes in one at a time. But if you're a bride, you will know the measure of the Word. And the measure of the Spirit in that Word that is bringing you up to Him because you are one of those that's born again. Man not living by bread alone. No, but every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. And that word coming in seven distinct joints, seven distinct areas, ages. Living word that people feed on. And there's a measure of it. And that measure is perfect for every age. So in seven ages, He's been pouring the word, Spirit-filled word into the bride to a Spirit-filled people. Until at the last, there's no more to pour in. And those measures have all been different. Every age has had a different measure. Every age has had a part of that word. Now we're coming to the fullness of it. That's your pyramid coming up, your stature, perfect man. Now we're to come to that. And you can only come to it through the specified ministry of the word that God has laid down. Now, the bride is coming up to Ephesians 4 and 13. The unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, under the measure, stature, fullness of Christ. In other words, she has come to the place of knowing her mate. She has got to come to the place of knowing her mate. Now somebody say, but I always knew my mate. You've got to be a liar. And I can't stand liars. The Apostle Paul said in the first age she drifted away, she had another Jesus. They got a second person of the Trinity. Jesus was Jehovah of the Old Testament. Manifest in flesh, He was that one Melchizedek. Without father or mother. I'm talking now of the Spirit that was in Him. I'm not talking about the one born in Bethlehem. See? Remember Paul, the voice said to Paul, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Didn't say Jesus of Bethlehem. Not even the body. I'm that one you saw ministering from Nazareth. See? Hell, Jehovah. The I Am. Alright? Now you gotta know Him. She's right here. Heading into a knowledge. Okay. With it. The definitive of it. No more children. Then you're no longer in the foundation. You're up to the top to a headship. Why? Because the capstone come down. Alright? No more carried out wind of doctrine. You got thus saith the Lord. There's no more sleight of men. There's no cunning craftiness. In other words, there isn't going to be one false prophet or one false teacher, one false pastor, one false evangelist, one false anything, one false apostle that's going to budge this bride.
Amen. Praise God.
Now she's budged until a certain period, but she's got to come to the place where she's unbudgeable. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Let's get this flat. When you get to the place I'm talking about, and it takes you this long to get there, you are nothing but Abraham and Sarah. You're dead, 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 and can produce nothing.
Hallelujah.
It's going to take God to do it.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. See? Just keep the two things separate. Now notice, verse 14. Is word connected to verse 13. Till we all come in union of faith. The knowledge of the Son of God, we know Him. We come to this perfect man, it's all finished. We come to the measure of the stature. That is the development attained. We come to it. See? Now listen. The word is attached to it. No more children. In what degree? The word of the Lord has come to its peak. What word of the Lord? The word of the Lord, which in one area is positively finished. It's so corrupt, it's no more the word of God than nothing. It's creeds and dogmas and corruption, vomit, wretched rottenness, garbage, filth of the world. that produced a rock and roll harlot in America here, where the beast comes from. On the other hand, there is a word that lies in abatement, ready for the hour. And that word comes forth stronger than the lion ever was. That brings us right to the place of incorruptibility. That's exactly why the bride becomes incorruptible. She must be incorruptible first of all with inside all glorious, then incorruptibility and immortality comes on the outside. See? That word has got to come. Verse 13. Verse 14 is word connected to verse 13. Then 15 takes us up to the wedding supper. But holding and speaking the truth enough, grow up unto him in all things which is the head. Well, when you get up there, it's at the wedding supper. That's right. And oh, from the wedding supper on, it's just glory, 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 hallelujah. See? And in verse 16, we are then a whole body, and see him who is the head, from whom all things come, and see in reality what we knew by revelation, that redemption is all of God, regardless of human instrumentality, as is necessary. Sure, he's got these people. He's got a bride, a body, and there is a unified, what you call, administration of the word through a fivefold ministry. But when you get to see him, you'll understand that everything was of him.
Amen.
Even the prophet with this word said, don't think that I was talking about myself as though I appeared at the river. I was not the one that appeared. He said, I was only there when he appeared, and I was just a voice, and that against my better judgment. And I told you how Sister Branham heard Brother Branham's voice. All right. You don't just get there because you're born again. Born again in itself is not the answer. The answer is Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. God doing everything in a measure in the bride. He's got a bride and everything is measured. See? Now, under restoration they start to come back. But no way do they get back. It takes restoration. Absolutely. Reformation won't do it. Up to the point of the prophet is reformation. But it goes to seed. It has to go to seed. But you bring back that original word, it cannot go to seed any longer. In other words, it can't be planted and then go to seed like down the road, deteriorating to something else. Because this is the last step. The last measure. And he says, well, we're going to Joel pretty quick now. All right. It's Ephesians 4, 17 to 30. Jesus died and rose again to send forth the Holy Spirit in a word ministry to the reborn bride, that she, being one with the word, would make the wedding supper. The bride is not just a group of reborn, but the word in flesh manifested. She went off a track in 2 Corinthians 11. But James 5, 7 to 9 and Joel 2 tells how she gets back on track into the and into the revelation that causes her to be first fruit and resurrection material. Let's go to James. And he quotes from Joel. James the 5th chapter. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Now that tells you right there, he's going to be present to raise the dead. He has long patience for it. Until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, because the presence of the Lord draws nigh. Now, what's he quoting from? He's quoting from Joel, the 2nd chapter. Okay. All right, be glad, ye children of Zion. That's the bride. And rejoice. And then it says, here, I'll restore to you the ears, the locust worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer, and my great army sent among you. Oh, here I want the 23rd. I didn't read the 23rd verse at all. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. Now he said, the early teaching rain is the moderate rain that starts the bride on the way. That came under Paul. And that wasn't that Paul didn't receive a full revelation. It wasn't that this word is absolutely up to date for this hour. But what it was, that word was not instrumental at that time. Because it's in a measure. See? It's not haphazard. The bride coming in is haphazard in this respect. You don't have to know her number. If there's several million in one age, or there's 20 in one age, it makes no difference. What it is, it's that measure of the Word in which is the life measured of the Holy Ghost. And what portion of the body you're into. You're not in the feet any longer. You're way up here at the top. See, headship. Everything indicating where we're at. All right. He gave it moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first. Now, they got the word month in there, and that's not what it means. It's going to come down the same way as it came down at the first. So, at the time of the dynamism of the Spirit of God moving in the end time, this tremendous revival that broke over the world under this great ministry of the latter rain, which started in 1906 and began to peak in 1946. It grew right to there until this fantastic ministry came on the scene, the gift even going around the world. And at that time, the former rain has to come, which is what the prophet is all about. People calling William Branham a prophet as though he went around just saying things and doing miracles. That's not what a prophet is, not this kind of prophet. Not like under Moses and the stature. Why, he had this category to tell us. He said the light of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In other words, the Spirit of God come down on earth. Okay, now it says, at that time, when they come together, that's when James says there's going to be a resurrection. You see? And all right, that is exactly what we saw in Acts the 3rd chapter. See? All right. Keep that in mind as we go to, as we just think again for 2 Corinthians 11 a little bit. Three things were wrong. Absolutely all three were wrong. Wrong word, wrong Jesus, wrong spirit. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And we look at verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now notice over in Ephesians, a measure of grace. And grace is mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. Actually, it's mercy. Amen. Call it what you want. It's the same thing when the boil is right down to it. Because mercy you don't deserve, and grace you don't deserve. Same thing. Unmerited. In other words, there should be a penalty. There is no penalty, so you get mercy. And if there's mercy, then there's grace. See? As we have mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now listen, not walking in craftiness, nor handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience sight of God. If our gospel be hid, Paul says, my gospel, our gospel be hid. Hid those are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of power may be of God, not of us. Now, what he's telling you here is that this image that you are changed into comes by reason of the mercy and grace of God in the measure of that hour, where beholding him revealed in this word, which he cannot be revealed in this word till the end time, because already they had a false Jesus, a false word, and a false spirit. Now, 1 John 3:2 tells you how you get changed. It says the same as this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear we shall be, but knowing he shall appear, we'll be like him, we're going to see him as he is. So therefore, he must be unveiled. And we cannot see him unless we are unveiled. So therefore, the creeds and the dogmas completely unveil us. And when we are unveiled, we no longer have a wrong gospel. Then if we don't have a wrong gospel, we see him. And when we see him, we have the right spirit. Now we're all the way back. Now you tell me, the Pentecost does it, I'll laugh in your face. Because Pentecost is nothing but an abortion without this. Now, I didn't write the book. I don't know why God does it this way. All I know is He does it this way. And I'm happy He does it this way, because it does the job. I'm not going to argue with God. You put a $300-$700 in my pocket tonight, or $1,000 bills, I won't argue. I'll just go spend it. Oh, you know, stinking well, I wouldn't even take it, but I like to think I would. At least I can take from God. See, that's the people. First of all, they want their own minds to figure it. Tell God what to do. Then they want to tell Him how to do it. Then they want to do it. That's what's wrong is legalism. See? They won't give Him the glory. All right. Now, outside of a prophet, with restored word, you can't make it work. You can't make this work. Because it's a ministry without deceit. Now, I told you, my sister was a pretty good graphologist. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's make it our project. Somebody here, deacon or anybody else. Let us inquire of the most outstanding graphologist in this nation. And I think he's in New York. They pay him a tremendously high price. Now, my sister did not know that she was doing Brother Branham's handwriting, although I thought she did know. And she looked at it and she said, this man is all by himself. She said, there is no sign of any deceit in his handwriting. And she said, further, this man is peculiar. He can just seem to get right away from everything if he wants to. She saw the prophet with the trance and the vision. She saw the complete lack of deceit. And she admitted that nobody but nobody's handwriting ever had that in it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The bride's going to have it. She's getting it. Don't you think for a minute she's not. Because she's returned right to this. And you've got to have word without deceit. And a man handling without trap. Therefore, he exalts him and presents him. See? So the bride knows her mate, the revealed word. Well, Brother Vail, you know, I just can't stand that, you know, we just said he was as God to the people. My stomach has been sensitive recently, and I think this is what's doing it. Hasten, Jason, bring the basin. Before it's herb slop, bring the mop. Used to say that back in about 1950. Or maybe a little later. Outside of a prophet, you can't make it work. But a prophet has to have God, so who is present? Not God as inseminator at Pentecost, but as revealer of the Word. That's after Pentecost. So being present at Pentecost is not the presence that He was with Paul bringing the Word. And it's not the presence as it is to a fivefold ministry bringing the Word. See, that's why Brother Brown categorically said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you will say amen to every word. And the evidence of having the Holy Ghost is believing the Word for the hour. But you see, the Thunder Boys got all mixed up. They said of believing the Word plus. Now they added to it. Now where are they? They don't even leave the capstones down. Oh, because they're going to do something about it. What they going to do? Ride with the next astronaut? Last astronauts I heard, the Russians, they looked around, they didn't see God at all. Well, come on. I may be tough preaching, but I mean it. I'm not kidding at all. They're not going to see Him either. Riding around. You've got to see it here. See? All right. Now back to Acts 3, which we read to you. Restored as against burning, which is Malachi 4:1-6. Now we can do as we like. We cannot change what the prophet said. He's here. Okay. Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing Himself for the past few years to His church in mercy, showing them His great presence. doing the same things he did when he was here on earth. What did he qualify that as? In the flesh, every single night. If he's here in the spirit, as he was on earth in the flesh, he'll do the same things, right? He has now come in mercy, revealing himself to the church. The next time he reveals himself, it'll be in judgment on the world, the nations that forgot God. He said that back in 1958. He said the headship is here. That's what he said. Amen. Christ the risen Lord. It's here in the same power of his resurrection that he ever was manifesting himself. We know that Christ is here. Maybe you don't see him with your eyes, but through vision I tell you he's here. You know. The life is present here tonight. That's right, the Holy Spirit's here. It's Christ in the form of the Spirit. His Spirit, the anointing, is here. How said he shall appear in the last days to bring the people back to the Word, so the bride nor her husband or mate, the revealed Word. Now when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnated to us, the one that's in our midst now, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now that's in the midst. That's not in us. That's in the midst.
Amen.
Tell you what, let's form a little ring around the rosy here. I'll stand in the middle. Then you tell me I'm inside of you. Now see, I'll give you $1 million if you can prove it. I'm inside of you. In the midst is not inside. Messed up. See, can't even, you get the place, listen, you start fooling with this message, you get the place where it's absolutely ridiculous before it's over. Now, when that Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnated to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Spirit becomes incarnated to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. That tells you he's there and the Holy Spirit's here, and one day when the Holy Spirit that's here in our midst right now takes us up there, he'll slip into him and incarnate himself. Now, he says here, there'll be a bride just as certain as I am standing in this pulpit. There'll be a bride that's washed in the blood of that Lamb, and that Lamb will be living amongst them, showing super signs of his resurrection after 2,000 years, the same thing he did when he was here on earth. In flesh. So he's not here in flesh. All right. To this point, we have seen the Holy Spirit in person, bringing us the Word. But that is not the only reason he is here. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 13, Paul, speaking on the living at the dead and dead at the time of his coming, said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And Brother Branham said that was the message. So that has to be in spirit form. Because he said he was the voice of the one that came down with for the message. Now, if that's the way some of these big mouths are teaching it, that is the regular rapture, which is what the fundamentalists say, that's what he's talking about, then Brother Branham, right. See, that's fine by me. But I've got a gift to teach it. Now, they don't want teachers anymore, but the funny thing is Brother Branham didn't say I was a teacher, he said you have a gift to teaching. And he said my gift to teaching was like his gift to healing. You do what you want with it. And I'm doing what I want with it. And I'm telling you they're wrong. Because they don't say what the prophet said. The rapture, so-called, what they call the appearing is not the appearing, it's the coming. When he comes down, we meet him in the air. See, and he's not revealed to the world. Uh-uh. The coming in which he's revealed to the Word is in the same physical flesh, and we are with him. And we're revealed with him at that time when we come down in flames of fire coming out of his mouth and out of ours like atomic bombs, destroying all before us, walking on ashes as they crumble into ashes. I didn't write the book, I preach it. 1 Thessalonians, my brother, sister, is the appearing that Brother Branham taught. The Lord himself descends from heaven. And he said, he's here, though you by cannot see him. But I by vision tell you he is here. And then he said, the eye of the camera caught it. What's he talking about? You and I both know what he's talking about. See? Why do I preach so hard? I'm not worried that you're not going to stay with the Word as Brother Branham brought it. By the grace of God, I'm convinced they teach it. But these things need an answer. I got a phone call from Dave from Africa, by the way. They're very, very happy and believing it just and want many more tapes, not because Lee Dale's preaching. See, here's the beautiful thing. I don't have to run around the world. I don't have to go anywhere. If a ministry is of God, that ministry will get there somewhere.
Amen.
Brother Branham categorically said, concerning this age, the seventh age, you do not run, 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 run. That was the sixth age. And why did William Branham not run when he had everything to run with? Because he was forbidden to run. He almost died in Africa with amoebic dysentery because they made him run. Alrighty, hear what? With a shout, which is a message. And he's got a prophet standing there. But he's also here to raise the dead, and the prophet does not do that. Amen. And only God can raise the dead. Jesus, as a man, does not raise the dead. The scripture categorically said that God raised him. And God will raise us. The scripture said God will bring forth with Jesus. Yes, the Lord descending will bring forth us. Our brethren out of the ground with Jesus. We'll bring them forth in the first fruit body. God does it. I'm not pitting God against the Son or some stupid thing like that. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. I don't have two gods. They claim I got two gods because I preached Jesus as a man. Well, what was it that was behind the throne that came and took the book? A man. Who bled and died? A man. He said it was God in the form of man. It was still a man. And Brother Branham said that Jesus turned back to a pillar of fire. But there sits the body. That's what he's talking about. Now, Kesa didn't have a beginning. Jesus had a beginning. They can't get the understanding that the body was a super body only God could create for himself. With those attributes there. But he was still a man. And then God came down the River Jordan, filling him. Gethsemane, he left him. I don't understand all the mysteries, but I'm not so stupid. I'm going to run around and make two gods out of it. Stick with the prophet. All right. The same is said in James 5. There's a resurrection coming, but it can't come until the one of the former latter rain, that's a shout, is here. And when that's fully effective, see? And it couldn't be because God would have to abort the whole thing. Which is you and I standing here. We're the guilty ones. We're the tough ones. Because, you see, they paid a price. They died. So they've got every right to be raised. Because the promise lies in the baptism. But we don't get raised. Because we don't die. Something happens. So she's taken back to the Word, which puts her right in line with the tree of life. And she'll live forever. See? Now how are you going to have it except you go the Bible way? How are you going to have it except you follow the prophet? See? We saw the descent of this Spirit. I've been preaching on it for a year now or better. That's why they couldn't stand me over yonder. Too much presence and too much logos. I can't get enough until I'm changed. And that will be enough. Talk about presence. Don't you know the meaning of the word presence? These people full of the Holy Ghost. Already filled with the Holy Ghost. Already sealed into the day of redemption. He said, wherefore also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love and all things, cease not to give thanks, make mention in prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You don't get it unless that spirit comes in, which is God's own spirit himself comes down and does it. And if and when he does, it'll take a prophet. Now, it says here categorically, when the revelation comes, the eyes of your understanding, your heart will be enlightened. And you will know the hope of his calling. It doesn't say yours, it says his. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And you can't know until that time. Till this time. That's why you got to seek and see what Brother Branham said about it. I found portions of scripture here and there, but I've never got the corroboration from the message the way I want it. Once in a while, a little glimpse. But I'm just waiting on God to see what he does. And it says, at that time of the shout, then the voice. And at that time, you'll know the exceeding greatness of God's power to us who believe, according to working mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he brought him from the dead. And he raises all those up there. Then we'll understand that. You see, you've got to be enlightened as to the shout. And until full enlightenment, there is no further enlightenment concerning the grave. When it's run its course, then the dead come up, and we consort with the dead. That's going to be a great day.
Amen.
You might as well be happy about it, because look, we're not unassured anymore. We're not guessing anymore. We don't have to wonder anymore. This is it. See, he didn't call us this far to know this word and then say, hey, I've got somebody over here. You're not going to tell me that kind of nonsense because I know this word here. I know where it lies. Because this is what the word says. You think for 1 minute he's going to take a bunch of unenlightened people against those that are enlightened? You think he's going to take somebody who doesn't give him any preeminence against those who give him preeminence? You think he'll take those without a revelation against those who do have a revelation? You've got to be ridiculous. What's he come for? Paul said the living and the dead are at a certain time when the dead are going to come out. What about him? Well, he said he's going to come down with a message. Not corporal, spiritual. Because he doesn't come corporally with a message, because that would make him the prophet in flesh again. And he can't go back to a prophet in flesh. It's prophet, priest, judge, king. Now, where's their theology?
Hallelujah.
They got pretty lousy theology, don't they, Tommy? When you bring it right down to where it belongs. Where's their theology? I'd like to know where the theology is. They haven't got any. Not because I say so, the prophet says so. And look how the word lines up. Then it says, then. Resurrection. And the last to be first, Brother Branham's going to come up first. Now, certain people say, I'm going to be there and he's going to shake my hand first. Now, Brother Branham may never even shake my hand. So what? I hope to see him in a hurry. I don't know. How can you shoot your face off by things you don't know? How can you stand and aggrandize yourself and say this and say that, the other foolish thing? That's a lot of Tommy Rod and poppycock. Where do you get the nonsense?
Amen.
We're not dealing with little prizes in some cracker jack box anymore.
That's right. Amen.
You're dealing with the Word of God, with Him Himself. Come on. Not some stupid sideshow idea. I don't know. Maybe we won't see Brother Brandon. Maybe he'll be someplace else. If I'm going to see him. I'm seeing him right now.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. Like the little girl said, the queen didn't see me. She said, I saw her, but did the queen see me? Certainly, the king sees me. Because he saw me first, so therefore I'm seeing him. Now it says right here that the resurrection takes place. Then comes the rapture. Then the wedding supper. And from that point on, it's a continuous revelation of how he is everything. Until the New Jerusalem, the Lamb is sitting on the throne above the New Jerusalem, which is the bride, and over him the pillar of fire, and their one voice before they call, he answers. And those in the second resurrection bring their glory in. There it is, you see. We see it perfectly here. Turn it any way you want. He is here. He is here now, and it is so strange that we are not more humbled and more brought down and more sincere. Maybe right now we're too happy fighting. But you know something? I don't mind a fight. I don't mind the biting, as long as we're not devoured. One of another. That's the secret. Know how far to go, no further. The secret to stand up with this message and not get embroiled personally in a dogfight. And I want to tell you something. I have gone to nobody's church and ever started anything. I've cleared myself with every pulpit. If the pastor disagrees, believe him. Don't worry about me, because I'm just a visitor. But I'm going to tell you something. I am set for the defense of the gospel as I understand it. Where the chips go, that's their business, not mine. But they started it. And I will teach as long and as hard as I want. And I have every right to. And I brook no opposition or any interference. Because I go to no man's church, and at this hour I may never go to anybody else's church. I don't know. But I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. And that goes from the firstborn at Pentecost to the lastborn at this hour. That God Almighty has his way of doing things, and when people go against it, it shows that they disapprove of God. And the only time that people can disapprove of God is every time there's to be an exodus. For he wants to be king. And he wanted to be king over Israel. And they turned him down flat. And he came to be king, the Messiah. And they turned him down flat. And now he's here in an exodus to take us in to be king, because that's what it means. When that spirit here becomes incarnated, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they turn him down flat. They disapprove, is what the scripture says. Scripture in the other says they prove me. It doesn't say they prove me, it says they disapproved of me. 40 long years, he said, I took their disapproval. But he said, everyone's dead. Only two got in. They were believers. Now I'm going to close with this thought and tell you. Moses one day stood up to Peter and he said, listen, he said, God, you said you're going to wipe them out? He said, you wipe them out, you wipe me out. And the Lord stood back and wouldn't wipe them out. But one day, some false anointed prophets, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, stood up before Moses and fought at him over the office that God had given him, where he was God to the people. Where his word was God's word. And listening to that man, Moses was listening to God, because they said, we don't want to hear his voice. We don't want to see him anymore. Moses, you do it. And Moses did it. And they said, drop dead Moses. Who do you think you are? Come on. And Moses said, God, if these men die the common death, I am not your prophet. Let me tell you today, these men that have risen against William Branham, if they die the common death, William Branham is not that prophet. What is the uncommon death, Brother Vale? The Great Tribulation. You say, are you condemning anybody? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling you, friend. Am I supposed to stand here, some little namby-pamby fool, and say, well, it's all right. A great prophet came on the scene, and oh yes, 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 my dear child, he was this great prophet. But if you just don't choose to believe him, let me assure you everything is all right. Well, what am I? What are you? No, I don't want to get you mean like old E. Bill. That ain't nice, because sweet kids here, sweet people. But I want to tell you something. It's about time to get iron in our blood and have a saw log for a backbone. And stand up. Let me tell you, brother, sister, I stand on what I teach tonight and what I believe. And if I am wrong, let's put it this way. There's just a few of you going to have trouble with me. That's not too bad. And the people that got the tapes wanted them. That's their tough luck. If I'm not wrong.
Amen. Amen.
Not wrong. It's all in here.
Amen.
Word by word, what the prophet taught. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost will not let you and me deny one word. Oh, sure, we get mixed up the odd time. The odd little thing here, a little thing there. Certainly we do, but notice how the word always cracks the air. Let's rise. Heavenly Father, take a long time, perhaps longer than we should, maybe, I don't know. Maybe not, but Lord, here we are tonight realizing again. And I feel so good about it, Lord. I don't feel condemned at all. I just feel like shouting hallelujah to God who reigneth forever. Came down and set the church in order. Came down through a vindicated prophet, showed us these things. Blessed be your holy and wonderful name, Lord. Oh God, if there was a time, maybe feel like speaking in tongues and just screaming. It's the hour, Lord, we've come into. To realize, and Lord, we're not trying to put on a show to convince people or convince ourselves or convince you, but Lord, deep in our hearts something moves, and if it's wrong, I'm sorry, Lord, it's wrong. But if it's right, oh God, I just got to keep on the same way I'm going, because whatever it is, witnesses, right down the line, right down through my heart, the revelation, the eyes of my heart being opened right down to my toes, oh God, the top of my head. Something says, yes, 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 thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. That he never left this to somebody else, to some archangel, to some missionary-minded person, to something that he created in a special certain order even, But as he was in the Garden of Eden ministering redemption by blood to Adam and Eve, you've come down again to walk in the evening time. An evening time, Lord, of murkiness. And yet at the evening time it shall be light. Yes, it's evening time, Lord. And light has come. Hallelujah. And, oh God, we know by your word, we believe absolutely, unequivocally, that you're here and that we're a part of it, Lord. And we're going to get out of here. We are not destined to wrath. No way appointed. No way. But this great one who was appointed for us, this Jesus who died. Now you're making a way, Lord, to cover all the sins, to cover all the mess, to cover everything, and you're personally doing this. Oh, God, how great thou art and how grateful we are, Lord. Lord, just thank you, Lord, that we are becoming more sincere, oh God. We are becoming more sincere. I know it, Lord. I claim it with all of my heart and the hearts of the people tonight in agreement, becoming more and more sincere. Sure, we may seem rougher, Lord. I'm not too worried. I'm not too worried, Lord, because you read below the lines and below the heart. And, Father, sure, I could wish that every single person might be bride. Might wish even to even have a pity that Moses could not have toward Pharaoh. He couldn't go down and say, won't you show him the truth? And he'll come in, but the truth condemned him. Lord, tonight we're not of those. We just can't be of those. We're those who see that there's no judgment to us because you are the Son of Man. And judgment is passed over already. Judgment falling in the earth, beginning to come stronger in the day of the incarnation. Sure, but there's no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, tonight we're so grateful. We're so grateful as you stood before with Abraham. You stood with us also and do stand with us, waiting for the day when you can take us away. And the Son becomes fully manifest again, just as it was to Sarah. This is that season, Lord. We believe it. We believe it. This is a season for the dead to come out of the ground. Lord, I don't know that we've gone from the shout to the voice, but I know that I sure feel that way. Maybe it's my own little stupid thinking, Lord, and my own little feelings that I'd like to have on this subject. But I don't know. But I know, Lord, that the shout has one day got to come in, got to leave us, and the voice has got to take over. Dead got to come out, Lord. And, Father, this is a serious hour. Forgive us where we're not serious, we're not sober. Help us to be more serious, more sober, more everything, O God, to walk softly, to walk in grace, O God, as never before. Help each one here in divine presence. Lord in heaven, how we just long for that great change. We know what's going on. We know the cells are they've got to be forming around that word that's in there. That new life is changing it. Just like we know the life, the theophany comes back, is going to have an absolute changed body. It won't be that old one of dust. It'll be reconverted, recreated, absolutely molded once more by creative power. And so, Lord, we're going through the same process, starting with our minds, getting right down to the hearts, so the former and latter rain coming together, bringing forth a resurrection. Oh, God, we know it. We know it, Lord. We know it. We know it. We know it. It takes your presence. Hallelujah. We are convinced. Oh, God, we are convinced. We are convinced. Standing with it. Now, Father, we bless thy holy, wonderful name. Marvel at thy goodness and thy grace and praise thee, O God, in the depths of our heart. May we learn praise as never before. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, is the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing I Love Him. Go ahead, man.
I love him. I love him. Be God, he first loved me, and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Let's sing it again.
I love him. I love him because he loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Brother Branham told us that when you meet in his name, it just wasn't a figure of speech. It was a reality that you really are in his name. And this is the time, you know, he called his bride Mrs. Jesus. You know, this is a wonderful day in which we live. And I just don't see anything but it becoming more and more wonderful. I don't. And believe me, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. It's going to be more and more wonderful for her. Okay, let's just go sing. You take the name of Jesus with you. And I guess what they did, they got some cookies upstairs. I don't know, Brother Tommy, you can cough your cookies or a few things. We don't honor anybody too much, so you don't get much, you know, cookie and a cup of coffee. We're just that kind of sort of dumb around here, son. You got to forgive us. So if you want to stay, it's all right. It's upstairs there. The Lord bless you. Let's just sing. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you.